Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Theatre. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Timothy Ahrensbach. Tim is head of workplace experience at the LEGO Group.
Hi, everyone. I've been extremely excited for today's conversation. I've actually told everyone in my family about this because with me today is Timothy Ahrensbach, and he works for LEGO Group. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. But let's start right away. What is your role at LEGO? And how did you get there? What's your professional background?
Yeah, so my role at the LEGO Group is as head of workplace experience. I have the awesome job of really creating kind of strategies and concepts for our workplace experience for all of our workplaces across the world. So there are kind of two dimensions to that. There's a global dimension where I kind of help set out the principles of our workplace experience and what are those kind of unique aspects of our workplace experience that really makes it different and amazing to work at the LEGO Group. I also sit with our global location strategy and also support ensuring that that really is reflected in our global commercial and people strategies. Then on the local side, I really get so much satisfaction and love out of ensuring that those global principles are really applied to our local sites and ensuring that they're not just principles that are in a PowerPoint somewhere, but they're actually lived and experienced by our colleagues when they go to work. And so the way I do that is by supporting all of our project teams that are creating new workplaces by taking our global principles and concepts and then translating them to the local context. So looking at local culture, local needs, and then ensuring that we create a unique workplace experience concept for that site.
So how did you get into the profession then?
I actually have a background in urban development. I trained as a social scientist and have a master's in urban development. I started my career in London in an urban design practice where I looked at how we could create better neighborhoods and better cities for people to live in. And so I did that for a couple of years, and I was very quickly kind of gravitating towards the area of workspace because I was and still am like endlessly fascinated by this place where many of us spend the majority of our hours outside of our home. So how can we really create a place that sets us up for greatness? And so back in 2011, I co-founded a co-working space in London just off Trafalgar Square, 12,000 square feet co-working space for about 500 members. And that's when I just completely fell in love with workspace. So I did that for a couple of years and then moved on to do both workplace strategy and delivery in places like Denmark, United Kingdom, Japan, Myanmar, Kenya. So had an amazing adventure. And then around 3 years ago, ended up at the LEGO Group as global strategist and then since at head of workplace experience.
Cool. So you've mentioned global and local. I know you're located in Denmark.
Yeah.
How big is LEGO's portfolio? And maybe also, does it constitute office? Is it only office? What belongs to it?
Yeah. So we have a super varied portfolio. We have everything from our factories where we produce our LEGO bricks through to offices and retail. We have our LEGO certified stores. So to start with, we have our headquarters in Billund in Denmark, which is where the company was founded over 88 years ago and where we still have our headquarters. We have just under 5,000 people based there. We have our kind of corporate global headquarter functions, but we also actually have a factory there. And so that's where we do a lot of the prototyping and piloting of new products, which is super exciting. And it's such a creative, kind of fun environment to be part of. We also have factories in 5 sites globally and more coming online. And then we have regional headquarters in places like the UK, the US, China, and Singapore. And then finally, we have sales offices in over 30 countries, as well as a plethora of LEGO certified stores. So we really have quite a diverse range of workplaces in our portfolio.
How is the corporate real estate team set up then?
So we actually sit across both operations and the people function. So the team that sits with the strategy and concept development sit within HR and the people department. And that's to ensure that we really are part of the conversations around our people strategy and direction. And then the execution, delivery, and operational part sit under corporate facilities under operations. So that split was done earlier this year to ensure that those departments really sit where they add more value and where they are part of more relevant conversations. But obviously, we work together very closely because you need to make sure that there's a close tie between the strategy and concept development on one hand side and the execution and operations on the other hand.
Yeah, that does make sense. So before you sat with finance, is that correct?
Operations, sorry. Yeah.
Operations. Oh, so before yes. You were with operations, now you are with HR.
Yes, exactly.
This is actually quite interesting because I think a couple of companies are actually debating over whether corporate real estate needs to move more into the operations and then the HR organizations of the company opposed to finance. Do you think that mirrors kind of the new skill sets that need to be adapted by workplace managers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think where you sit organizationally is always going to be a big question. And I think one of the things that I'm super fascinated by is how the workplace experience really sit across many different layers. So when I talk about workplace experience, I actually talk about 6 layers. So I start with the functional layer, which is the kind of architectural layer, the physical space, the furniture that go into that space. On top of that, we then have the operational layer. So how are things actually working in the site? And then on top of that, you have a digital layer, because we often forget that obviously IT is a huge part of the workplace experience. Then on top of that, we have the inspiring environment. So that's really where a workplace becomes not just a physical space, but really is a place that showcases the values and the principles of that company. So for me, it's where I know that I work for the Lego Group and not just any other company. Then on top of that, we have our benefits and services. What kind of things might you offer in your workplace? And then finally, we have community building and engagement, which looks at how do people connect both internally in the company, but also externally to its local community. And so I think one of the super fascinating, but also challenging things within workplace is taking a step back from all of those 6 layers and saying, how do we make sure that they actually come together to create a workplace experience for our colleagues and not just kind of zoom in on just one layer? So I think in terms of the skill sets that you're talking about, I think an ability, and you know, you do have to sit somewhere in an organization, but an ability to effectively take that step back and think about how we create a holistic workplace experience and collaboration across all of those 6 layers, I think is super important moving forward.
Yeah, maybe because the 6 layers concept, I find that really intriguing. You can draw a picture for us how that looks like at the Lego Group, because I do know that you've just recently built out a new headquarters building or something actually in Billund. You've mentioned
yeah.
that. What does it look like? How do these 6 layers come into life?
So when we look at the 6 layers, specifically through the Lego Workplace Experience lens, we always think about the 4 principles of what makes a unique Lego workplace experience. So for us, it's one that wows and inspires us to be kind of creative and curious and imaginative. It's one that's fun and playful, because obviously we are the Lego Group and that's at the core of our kind of brand and our beliefs. It's one that is inclusive and creates a sense of belonging. And then finally, it's one that adapts to our diverse needs. So for us, across all of those 6 layers, we think of those 4 principles. So what does that look like in terms of the functional? Well, we think about a functional space that, yes, has to be adaptive to all the different kind of needs that we have as employees. So we have an activity-based setup. Then in terms of inclusion, we want to think, how do we create an inclusive workplace? Again, through the physical lens. So how do we make sure that it's super accessible and that all our colleagues can use the space to set themselves up for greatness? Then how to create a fun and playful workspace, again, in terms of the design of the space. And then finally, how can we have elements in there that really inspire us? So that's just one example of one layer. And then we do that across all of the 6 layers. So coming back to our Lego campus, which is part of our headquarters in Billund, it's a 55,000 1,000 square foot new facility. It will house 2,000 of our colleagues in Billund. And it really symbolizes all of the kind of the principles and the values of us as a company.
Now, is that actually a hybrid model that you're pursuing, or is everybody in the office requested?
Yes. So we've been looking at what kind of model that we want to roll out following the pandemic. And we've been doing a lot of research, like a lot of other organizations in the world, both internally asking our colleagues, what is it that they really want to return to? But also looking at what other companies around the world have seen to really make sure that the two resonate. And what we found out was our colleagues, just like many people around the world, are really missing that sense of community. They're missing collaboration. They're missing creative thinking, being inspired by their environments and feeling that connection to their colleagues and their company. So we are rolling out a hybrid working model, where the Lego site will be the primary workplace. So as a rule of thumb, our colleagues will be working around 3 days a week from our Lego site with the option of working 2 days from home if they so want to. We know that around 20% of our colleagues prefer working the entire week from the office. So obviously they're going to be able to do that. And we're thinking about that when we redesign our workspaces. But we know for the majority, they'll be really happy to work the 3 days a week from the office. So for us, that means that we're going to also rethink then what the office does. How does it support our colleagues in the type of tasks that they want to do in the office? And so we definitely see a future workplace that's going to look very different. It will be less desk-based and much more around these kind of collaborative facilities that support our colleagues to come together and work in more kind of informal and creative and collaborative ways.
I want to tap into something that you just said. You said, we want to make sure people want to come to the office. Do you have, well, a clue does sound kind of mean. No, do you have an insight into what it is that drives your colleagues to come to the office in terms of more concrete examples or what they've mentioned they enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know from our internal research that the top five things that our colleagues are looking for are things like collaborating with colleagues, informal connections and meetings. It's creative thinking. It's learning together, which is, I think, really exciting as well. And then it is connecting to the company, its culture and its impact. So those are specific things that we now try to design the workplace to support. And for us, I thought it was a really interesting kind of aha moment when we looked at those kind of types of activities and we realized that what they really had in common was play, right? And so we are an organization that evolves around play. And I think sometimes you might look at that and you might go, oh, well, but meetings and coordination, that's not necessarily play in the traditional sense. But at the Lego Group, when we look at play, we really see it as existing on a spectrum. So on one hand side, you have what we call unstructured play. So that is really where you would traditionally in the kind of in a child's perspective, maybe get dressed up and you would go out and hunt like unicorns and dragons and whatnot. In a adult kind of context, that might be team building, right? It might be just kind of taking yourself out of the ordinary and creating a very kind of playful experience. On the other end of that spectrum, we have what we call hard fun. So that's when you're really trying to solve something together and you're getting that sense of achievement and collaboration because you've solved it together with a colleague. And that could be, for instance, solving next year's budget, which is a struggle that we all have. So for us, it's really those dimensions of doing things with your colleagues, supporting each other, having a sense of kind of shared challenge that you're trying to overcome that is play. And that's what we're trying to support in our workspaces moving forward.
Yeah. On another note, a lot of adults, actually, I do think, play office workers for their whole life, putting on the playing that serious person going to do their job.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's something about that where I think we all want that moment in our workday as well, where we can actually just relax. And as you say, we often do put on a serious work persona. And we try to figure out how we can both really support those moments. So for instance, in our new headquarters, we are rolling out what we call play kits. So in every meeting room, there's a little kit that you can take up, and it's full of energizers and things you can do whenever you just need to kind of break the ice or create a little bit of energy into that meeting, or just take kind of a step back and look at your task from a different angle. We know from research that if we don't have set breaks, we tend to fall into kind of a bit of a rabbit hole, and not necessarily we're not able to look at the challenge with fresh eyes. So we really encourage people to pick up an energizer, do something really quick, and then come back to the task so that you can look at it with a bit more creativity and with a new perspective.
Yeah, that is really cool. But it kind of depends on being on site. Do you have like tools and tricks and kits for the hybrid or digital meeting world as well?
Absolutely. So we really envision a future where people will increasingly be structuring their work week around the activities that they can do at home and the activities where it makes more sense to go into the office. We think in a hybrid reality, it doesn't make sense to just be doing the same, because if people have said the workplace supports me to do X, well, then it makes more sense that you go into the workplace to do those type of activities, right? So for us, we are really trying to create a workplace that supports that while also supporting people to then work from home in the best way. And what we also try to do is then identify what are the things where you might just want to do it all remotely instead of having some people on site and some people working remotely, because that can be very difficult. It can create certain dynamics. It can be challenging from a diversity and inclusion point of view. And so in terms of the toolkit that we're rolling out to our colleagues, it also provides some guidance about how might you approach a task in terms of working from home or working from the office. And that includes things like meetings and meeting culture.
And pose is kind of the question, or actually I think like a field of things that corporate real estate needs to do different going forward and change from the way they've done things before. What's your thoughts on that?
So I think as we increasingly realize that the office has to do more than just provide desks and chairs, we are much more focused now on the whole connectivity and collaboration piece. And let's be honest, this has been our focus for a long time, even pre-pandemic. The point has definitely become even more important due to the impact of the pandemic. But even when we started building, say, like a campus 6-7 years ago, that was very much on our minds. And we wanted to make sure that Lego Campus really did that connectivity piece and made sure that when our colleagues were coming together from all over the world, that they had as much opportunity to really meet and connect and socialize. And so one of the things that we did, which I'm really excited about, is really bring other things into the mix. So not just a traditional workspace, but also things like an employee hotel, a fitness center, a restaurant, a cafe and bar, and an employee play space. And these are obviously all new and different business models for us. The point was to create this environment where people would be coming together. So as an example, the reason why we set up the employee hotel was, you know, we were seeing that all of our colleagues were spread across, you know, 10 plus hotels in town, all sitting in their individual hotel rooms. And we wanted to make sure that if they wanted to, they would actually be part of a community on site, on campus. And so by building 59 rooms that are in that space, they could come out in the evenings and participate in all the kind of events and the kind of social activities in the space. And this was obviously a completely new business model to us. I only joined about 3 years ago when the physical architecture was already kind of in place. So 59 kind of shells of rooms was there, but there wasn't necessarily an operating or business model for how to actually operate a hotel, nor any of the other activities or facilities we were planning to operate. So I really came in at an exciting time to figure out, you know, not just what is the fit out, so what do we put into this space, but also how do we actually operate it? What is our financial model, our business model, our partnership model? And when you're just used to providing desks and chairs and maybe running a, say, a canteen service, this is a whole new way of thinking. And obviously, we are not experts in any of those fields. And very early on had the conversation about, should we be running this ourselves or should we be working with partners? And very early on decided, okay, this would all be partnership led. But even if you're outsourcing it to partners, you as an organization still need to have some understanding of each of those types of businesses to make sure that not only are you providing the right physical environment, but also really the right setup. So what is your partnership model and your financial model? Are you going to work with your partners from a service level agreement? Is it going to be a profit share? You know, all of these different ways that you can deliver that service, but also just kind of practically, how does it work financially? We're used to selling Lego bricks and Lego sets to our consumers, not necessarily running these other types of operations. So for us, it was a huge learning journey, and we had to look at all the different aspects of the organization, health and safety, legal, security, facilities, HR, and really look at how could we then operate in each of these different types of spaces. So that's been an incredible and exciting and difficult learning journey from us. But we really hope and believe that it will pay off in terms of the long-term kind of connectivity piece and what that will mean in terms of our organizational performance.
Yeah. I'm hearing a strong focus on amenities as well. And I've heard that from other people in the industry as well, that they're looking towards hospitality and retail sectors, how they're handling, especially the experience pieces. That's something that you're having a focus on as well.
Absolutely. And I think for us, for me personally, it was such a privilege to really deep dive into the whole hospitality business. As we're setting up a hotel and a restaurant, that was something that I personally hadn't done before. So I spend a lot of time on courses and readings to really get an understanding of this industry. And I have to say, I just think there is so much that our industry can really learn from the hospitality sector in general. And I think especially the whole piece around experience is super important. So hotels know that you need to provide a unique experience for your guests, not only to attract them in, but also make sure that they are loyal and repeat customers in the future. And so that old saying about it's not about what it made you, what they said or did, it was about how it made you feel. I think that's something that hotels are really good at, and really thinking about how do we compete and provide a better experience than you would have not just in other sites. So I think for a workplace, it's interesting to think you're not just competing with other companies in terms of the workplace experience, you're actually also competing with the home experience, right? So what are you doing that you can provide in the workplace that you can't get at home? And I know that one of the things that a lot of companies are talking about as an example is, oh, do we provide a brunch on Fridays to make sure that people come in on Fridays? Now, I personally think brunch is great. I wouldn't necessarily go to my workplace just for a brunch. To be perfectly honest, if I did, I know that it would either be really awkward, like socially awkward, you would be small talking with people, or you would just gravitate to the people that you already know. But I'd probably just prefer having my brunch at home in my pajamas. But if you're thinking about, say, let's do Friday morning learning how to do French toast class in our training kitchen, and you spend half an hour doing that, but it takes the social awkwardness out of it because you're cooking together. You're also learning something and you're getting an experience that you take home with you and that you can kind of, that reminds you of what you got in the office that you wouldn't get at home. Then I would definitely come to brunch on Fridays in the office in the future. And I also think another point that I've really learned is how to take feedback from customers and really learn from that. So hospitality business knows that if you have a service failure for some reason, that can very quickly turn into a bad experience for your guest. And if it's not rectified, they won't come back in the future. We don't really have that approach, I think, in the real estate industry, because normally, pre-pandemic, people would still have to go into the workplace. So even if something wasn't working, there wasn't really necessarily a consequence of that because they'd still have to come in next week. That's obviously different now. If things aren't working in the workplace, they don't have to, and they can decide to just work from home. And one of the things that hospitality does really well is really make it super easy for their guests to give you that feedback even before it becomes an issue. So if your hotel room, if say the television set isn't working, as a guest, you go to the, even if you go to the housekeeper and tell them, you know what, my television set isn't working, they're not going to come back and say, you know what, that's actually IT's deliverable, so I can't really help you with that, right? Because you know that that guest is going to be really upset and not come back. So the housekeeper will note that down and fix it or bring it to the person responsible and they'll fix it. We don't have that approach. And I think in kind of because of the efficiencies that we're trying to create across the workplace experience, we tend to fall into those silos. We make it very difficult for our colleagues to give feedback. And you know, if you're sat there and say your screen isn't working at your desk, you think that's a facilities issue, but actually it's an IT issue. But if it's the electricity that's connected to your monitor that's not working, then it's actually a facilities issue. So yeah. I think this is something that we can really learn from hospitality is just how do we make it so easy for people to give that feedback so they don't just end up saying, you know what, things aren't working in the office, I'm just going to stay home next week.
Yeah, it's that we got you mentality without them having yes. to run around for things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I loved what you said about brunch being like, well, I can have brunch at home. I actually prefer that because it's going to be yes. awkward in the office. And that's like, yeah, it doesn't cut it if you only provide the food because, yeah, people might feel uncomfortable or just grab the food and go.
Absolutely. And I think that comes to, that's relevant to many parts of the community building that we do at the office. We tend to, and it's fair, we're not experts generally in this area, but we tend to put on an event, a social event or a team building event, and we kind of forget about the whole social awkwardness of it, right? We all know it's kind of, it's good for us, in quotation marks, but we don't really enjoy it. And we kind of put people into a room. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of us would prefer not to even do it in the first place. So what can we really do as employers when doing the whole community building piece to really think that through to take out the social awkwardness around these situations?
Yeah, and it is about the inclusion that you've mentioned earlier and bringing in the diversity, allowing yeah. for people to meet and mingle. What's your thoughts on that? How are you incorporating actually the diversity and inclusion piece in your workplace experience layers?
I think this is such an interesting time in terms of workplace and diversity and inclusion. I think a lot of organizations are increasingly realizing how important it is to have a diverse workforce. And in order to attract, but also retain that diverse workforce, you obviously need to have an inclusive workplace experience. And I think one of the challenges around that is that we tend to, especially in the real estate industry, really focus a lot on kind of building code and rely on what the architects have built and saying, well, that lives up to the regulations. But very often, that's really reduced to a very little part of the workplace experience. And I like to give the example of wheelchair accessibility and toilets. We all know that when toilets get built in many parts of the world, nowadays, you need to have a wheelchair accessible toilet, and you make sure that the door openings are a certain size and the toilet itself has a certain dimension so that you can access it. Now, what we don't think about is all those different touch points around that journey. So is the door actually fully accessible and easy to open, or is it still a manual door, which it would be super difficult to open if you're in a wheelchair? I think we still have a very reduced focus on what inclusion is, which tends to be about accessibility, say, in a wheelchair. And I think we don't really consider those other dimensions, including the whole operations piece, the service piece, and also the communication piece, right? How are we communicating about the different amenities in the workplace? So I think that's kind of one thing. I think we as an industry need to really upskill ourselves in terms of what inclusion is and how we create inclusive workplaces. But I think secondly, when we speak to our site and project managers, they also really struggle to understand what they should prioritize. There are so many different directions they could go in, and should they be focusing on a parent suite or a prayer room or fully accessible toilets or one of these kind of plethora of areas that they can focus on. And that is really difficult, especially if in a lot of these workspaces, underrepresented groups don't necessarily have a voice, and therefore they're not the ones that are listened to. And so that can be difficult then for a site or project manager to make sure that that perspective is included in the workplace experience. So one of the things that we've done at the LEGO Group is we've collaborated with our diversity and inclusion colleagues to create what we call a inclusive workplace charter. So that really provides guidance and directions and some of these principles around how we create a inclusive workplace experience. And as we talked about before, the workplace experience gets delivered by a lot of different parts of the organizations and a lot of different stakeholders. So what we do is really provide the overarching principles and guidance on what should be considered when you're trying to implement changes to make a better workplace experience for our colleagues. And what we did to make sure that it wasn't just me and the head of diversity and inclusion coming up with some great ideas, we actually co-created them with our EAGs, which are employee advocacy groups. They're also called ERGs, employee resource groups in certain organizations. And they are basically self-organized groups that represent otherwise underrepresented groups in the workplace. So they can be people of color, LGBTQ plus people, women, people with disabilities, etc. And so we actually took this document and these guiding principles, shared it with them, got lots of really super helpful feedback. And then the final document really represents a wide range of our colleagues and is really based on their needs and wishes for the workplace. And so this piece has really enabled us to have a really good conversations with our site and project managers. So knowing, you know, what are the gaps in their particular site? What are something that they should maybe address? And what can we do to really help them create these more inclusive workplace experiences?
Now, I usually do a little research on my guests and their company before. I like to call it, I do the stalking. And what I noted was that you're currently hiring for a community builder. And I'd be really interested to learn a bit more what the mission of this role is. I mean, I've learned now that it probably is tied to the sixth layer you mentioned. But maybe you can share a bit of like, what's their day-to-day going to be like? What is the purpose behind that?
Absolutely. And I think to talk into that, we almost have to take a bit of a step back and go back in history. So a couple of years ago, we started rolling out activity-based working at the LEGO Group. And the feedback that we got from our colleagues was that they really loved the kind of diversity and the flexibility that that gave them to really work from the setup that supported them in the best way possible. But the kind of challenge with that is that people were losing their sense of belonging. They weren't feeling anchored. They weren't seeing their colleagues. So what happens when you move from kind of a fixed desk setup where you go into the same area every day and you see the same colleagues is that you kind of lose that sense of belonging. And so what we've been trying to do with our new LEGO campus is to really create what we call neighborhoods where people are in an area. It's still an activity-based working setup in that neighborhood. So you know that you're seeing, say, your department or even a couple of departments more regularly. However, the next step is then when people are also working from home, it really creates a challenge for that sense of belonging and that sense of connectivity. So we know that we need to work even harder in terms of the programming and the activities in the space to really bring people together. And we know that that's what our colleagues want when they come into the office. So to help us with that, we have our community builders that are supporting the activities and the events in the workplace to really enable our colleagues to come together and connect across different teams and departments. And we have an incredible environment to support with that. We have everything from training kitchen, we have a fitness center, we have a clubhouse, we have a creative studio, we have a cinema, we have an event space, we have a music room, we have all of these amazing facilities where we can run activities. And our community builders are really there to help kind of seed that programming and start to connect our colleagues with each other, but also with the local community. So what we want to do is start bringing people in from the local community to have events in that space as well, to really kind of bridge the inside and the outside.
And this activity schedule, that is not exclusive to office workers. That includes everyone?
Yes, so absolutely. So we have our factory located also in Billund, and all of our colleagues, regardless of where they're based, will be able to access and use this space.
How do you plan to measure the success of these new workplace concepts then? Are you going to have metrics for all six layers as well to look at it?
And I think this is such a good question. I think it's such a challenge in our industry is how do we look across those six layers? What we do in the first instance is that we ask our colleagues, do you feel that the work environment supports you to be your best self and colleague? And that's a big question, and you want to deep dive into all those different elements. I think our challenge is to then figure out what are the things that we can do across the six layers to really then keep on supporting our colleagues. But yes, in the first instance, we send out regular surveys to our colleagues to ask them what their experience of the workplace is.
I think the performance measures a lot of times are very much tied to business initiatives, and that's why they tend to be of financial nature a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
What are the business initiatives driving real estate strategy at LEGO?
So obviously we have different types of workplaces and they all support different parts of the commercial strategy. So you have your factories that are producing the LEGO bricks. We then have, as I mentioned before, retail and then other offices. So where we're placed depends on what is the market that we're supporting. It also is a question of what is the innovation that we might tap into by being located in a certain context. Of course, also, what kind of talent might we be able to recruit from different sites? So it all depends on what type of workplace and what part of the commercial strategy that that workplace is supporting.
That means that there's different strategies for factories and offices in retail, obviously. How does workplace experience translate in factories, for example?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we've realized rolling out a hybrid working model is that is very much a benefit to those people who are able to take advantage of that, whose roles means that they don't have to be in the physical workplace 3 days a week. But say for our factory colleagues, they work on the production is running 24/7, so they're not able to suddenly take that molding machine home with them and then start churning out Lego bricks at home. So what we really focused on is ensuring that we really have an incredible workplace experience across all of our sites. And we are currently looking at how we can really create that unique Lego workplace experience in our factories as well. One of the challenges is that our colleagues working in the production sites, they have very specific routines, they have very specific geographies. They're not able to necessarily just take a break from their work and go and sit at a barista for half an hour and then maybe work that half an hour later. They're not necessarily able to go to a creative meeting room and have a meeting in a different way. So what we're trying to do is really think about how do we design a workplace experience around their movements, around their everyday geographies that fits into how they're working in the space and makes it easy and fun to just really make use of those benefits and those services that we might provide.
I think that's a really valuable exercise because I haven't worked with factories really, but with distribution centers, sometimes with factories as well. And they tend to fall off the plate from corporate real estate because they will provide the shell. And then what's inside is like, that's operations stuff, right? And then it's not necessarily pretty because everybody focuses on the function, right? And not so much the form. But of course, the workers in there do appreciate a nice working environment as well. I've just recently been to a distribution center. It was really interesting. The only difference they made was that everything was painted white. And it just made such a huge difference because it looked so much more open and airier. And that's such a little thing to do, just to have white paint on things.
Yeah.
But you need to be thinking about it.
from the onset, right? And yeah. I think that's really one of the things that, as I mentioned before, I really love about my job, because I get invited in at the onset of a project. And so a lot of my engineering colleagues will be kind of deep in the trenches around the bricks and the mortar. And it's not necessarily, they're super keen to get an incredible workplace experience, but it's not necessarily their area. So it's such a win-win situation when they invite me in at the early stages of the project. And again, I'm not a subject matter expert. I don't know the details about, say, paint colors and things like that. But I am able to take a step back from those six layers that we've talked about and really try to help them create a concept for the workplace experience in that site, which again reflects both the global principles, but also the local context and culture, and really make sure that we have a shared vision. So what we do is we actually do what we call an experience brief, which just sets out the workplace vision specifically for that site. And it doesn't go into technical details. It just follows different types of employees as they go through their workday. And it just says, what are they experiencing? What are the different touch points? What are different elements that we might want to consider to make their work day incredible? And so then we leave it to the different subject matter experts, again, across the six layers, to find out the kind of the solution. How do we actually deliver that? But the great thing is, because we've thought it in from the onset and made sure that all of those stakeholders across the six layers have nodded to this document and said, that makes sense, this is something we can deliver, then we have fewer problems further down the line when we actually come into the implementation. And I'm going to be kind of very transparent with you and share an example of where that hasn't worked previously is when, say, facilities have a great idea for a benefit or a service and they implement that in the fabric of the building, but they haven't maybe checked with the rewards department, in the people department, whether there's actually money to run this service. And so you end up with a physical space that actually isn't able to operate once you open doors because you haven't aligned on those things and the business model of your facilities from the onset. And by doing this early on in the project, we avoid that happening.
Yeah. So you do have like all representatives already in the decision-making phase on the table to build the solution together so that you don't run into blockers at a later point in time.
Absolutely. So at the inception stage of every project, I invite the leads in from each of those six layers to ensure that the vision that we've created aligns with all of them and that they all believe that this is something that we can feasibly deliver.
Yeah. So the six layer experts, just for me to get that, are those all within the real estate organization, or would some of them, I mean, the rewards thing, probably someone from HR.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is where it gets beautifully complicated and such.
Show me an organization where it doesn't get complicated.
Exactly. So as an example, we will bring in a lead from on the functional layer. We will bring in a design manager lead who often is also the person who works with the inspiring environments because it's more architectural and design related. Then on the operational lead, it will be a person also within facilities, but from a different operational department. On the digital, obviously, that's someone from IT, so that's a different department altogether. And then when you have benefits and services, that's someone from HR. And then when you look at community engagement and impact, that's actually from a CSR department. So it's lots of different stakeholders from different departments across the organization.
CSI department, does mean what?
Oh, sorry, the corporate social responsibility department.
Ah, because it was like CSI New York, CSI Miami.
Sometimes it feels like an episode of CSI.
Yeah, as I said, we all play a role at times in the workspace, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now you've mentioned something with workplace experience testing that failed. Do you have a lesson learned?
Absolutely. So during the pandemic, when we were looking towards our kind of future working setup, we had really been using the term of your best working self. And that was really the goal of our department, was to enable our colleagues to be their best working self. And I think it's the term that's used very often in our industry. I think we've all, that makes a lot of sense. That's why we're here. But as we were mulling it through, one of the realizations that we had was it's not just about being your best working self, it's also about being your best working colleague. And the reason why I mentioned this is because we were seeing a lot of companies saying, oh, you know, you don't ever have to come back to the workplace because you can just work remotely if that's what works best for you. And I totally understand that that makes a lot of sense from the individual's perspective. I think the challenge is that as we work in an organization, we're not just a bunch of individuals working independently. We actually work together to have a high level of impact. So what we need to remember is how are we as individuals also contributing to the development and growth and productivity of our colleagues? And we all know the example of new joiners who join a company. They find it incredibly difficult, especially during the pandemic. Everyone has been working remotely. A lot of newcomers struggle to create those relationships, understand how the organization works, tap into the organizational culture. All of that is done much more easily with a colleague close by, when you're able to tap into that mentorship, that mutual support, and also those meta reflections during the day. One thing I think that all of us struggle with is the kind of the sense checking, right? So something has happened during your workday and you just want to make sure that you're on the right path. That can be a particular task. It can also just be a bigger question that you have about whether something was resolved in the right way. Did I do this right? Did that person do that thing right? And the ability to just check in with a colleague and get that sense of, oh, okay, no, that made sense, or I could have done this differently. I feel like we're missing out on that collective learning when we're not in a physical space together. So I think really, for me, that was a big aha moment, realizing, again, it's not just about your individual productivity, it's how we support the organization's productivity across our teams.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very valid point. I've experienced that for myself as well. If I have a really full day, I tend to not go to the office because I know people will want to chat and I will be distracted and I won't get my tasks done.
Yes.
But then on the other hand, just last week, I went to the office and I've had like these, I mean, I did have meetings, right? But then there were these spontaneous meetups with colleagues and my boss and like staying longer after the meeting to discuss something that popped up that was not necessarily tied directly to the topic. But yeah, we got to talking and then we had an idea to do something. And that doesn't happen when you're at home because you don't stay longer in the Zoom meeting. You're like, okay, I'm gone.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of us have that sense that it's a big question of what is work? Did I do work today? If you've gone into the office and just had conversations all day, you don't feel like you've done work because you have not been individually productive. But I can assure you that all those people you had conversations with during that day, they have all become a bit more productive because of the input that you've given them. And I think it's a big part of our collective learning as well, that we as individuals, you know, I mentioned before, the mindset of thinking, what can I do at home versus what I can do in the office? And allowing yourself to come into the office and maybe have a bit more air and space in your calendar, a bit more time to have those informal conversations. And I think very often we think that those conversations that you have over a coffee, you might start out with a personal conversation, but in 9 out of 10 cases, the personal conversation is an in to a conversation about work at the end of a day. And so they are all somehow productive and helpful conversations for people to have. And I wish and I hope that we are all on that journey to think productivity in a different way.
Yeah. Like creating those light moments sometimes to connect dots between that's what I'm doing, that's what you're doing, and that's how it's benefiting the greater goal, kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you may have said it already. I'm still going to ask you, if you could magically solve any workplace experience problem, what would it be?
I absolutely would love for us to be able to measure the kind of indirect or secondary impact of our work, right? So as I mentioned before, we tend to ask people, was this helpful to you? Do you feel that your workplace experience enables you to do X, Y, Z? But we never get, but what does that then enable them to do? And so I would love for us to be able to see if everyone feels that they maybe have become less productive in the workplace. Well, actually, that might mean that the organization as a whole has become more productive because we've had those connections in the workplace. So I would love for us to be able to measure those kind of indirect impacts of the workplace experience.
Yeah, I think there'd be many takers from that one. No, because I've had discussions like of more theoretical nature. So I was like, why do companies care that people come to the office? And
yeah,
when you look at individual contribution, like you said, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't need to be like that. But you're so right about the secondary impact.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good way of thinking about it. I love that. Okay, I'm coming to the last question. We can relax now. And it's, who else should I talk to on this podcast? And is there something you would like to ask them?
Absolutely. I would love to hear from someone who has really rethought organizationally how they think about workplace experience. I mentioned myself how we are part of a HR and people conversation, and that's enabled us to take that step back. But I also know that there are organizations that are really thinking about how could I merge different departments. As we talked about, a lot of it sits between digital facilities and HR. Are there different combinations of that? Could you even set up completely separate teams to ensure that we're not just based in just one area? I know, for instance, within HR, there's a lot of focus on employee experience, right? You're looking at the employee's experience of the organization from the moment they hear about the organization to the point when they leave. Could we look at workplace experience and the way we deliver that through a similar lens? That's something I would love to hear if other organizations have experimented with.
Definitely. I've noted that. Thank you so much, Tim. I do have play
Thank advice.
Talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.